Good evening. James McCanny here with my Science Hour, May 5th, 2016. And if you hear some beeping in the background, that's because I'm running on battery backup here. I hope I make it through this show. It seems like maybe somebody doesn't want me to be on this show tonight. I'm not sure. Anyway, quick announcement. NASA, I have so many topics to cover tonight, so I'm going to be talking very quickly. I'll be talking again about the earthquake in Ecuador and Japan. Some very new discoveries I've made in the last week. That's very important. But first, a few announcements. NASA said it discovered three new Earth-like planets. And I saw this headline, and it's like, great advancement towards the discovery of alien life. And I'm going, oh my goodness, what are they talking about here? So I read the article. They did not. I repeat, they did not discover three planets. What they saw was a very dim star with very low energy stars, certainly not like our sun that has a good deal of energy to support life, a very dim star. And it darkened a little bit with a regular pattern. That's what the observation was. And they deduced, this is a series of deductions, they deduced that there could be up to three objects moving around this star, and because of the frequency, they thought that this could be close to this star, whatever these objects were. Now, they could be comets. Now, a big star, when the Earth passes in front of it, is not going to dim more than... especially looking at a distance, it's not going to dim more than a star would normally dim with just normal activity. Our sun dims continuously day and night. In fact, NASA put a satellite up many years ago to determine what is known as the solar constant. That's the amount of energy that comes out of our sun. And they thought they were going to do this to see if the sun had any effect on climate change. And they were expecting years, maybe in 10 years, to see a slight change. What they discovered was that the sun was changing on a second, not a minute, not an hour, not a day, not a month, not a year, not a 10-year, not a 100-year, or not a million-year cycle like they were expecting, like millions of years, a little change. It was changing on a second-to-second basis. Our sun changing. You know, that often. And so to see this pattern of slightly dimming of a star does not mean that there are planets there. They could be comets. They could be, debris that came in just last week by capture. But they're determining that these have planets with people running around on them, alien life that they're going to discover. So, no, the announcement was completely fabricated, false. Once again, never a straight answer is the real name for NASA. Mother has her daughter taken away in Colorado because the mother mentioned at a school amongst parents that she was concerned about chemtrails. Somehow this gets around to a judge. She gets hauled in front of this kangaroo court. The judge determines she's an unfit mother, and they go in and haul the kid away. And it's like, what? You know, this is the bastion of political correctness. Most schools today, the teachers are running around like they're walking on eggs. Everybody's afraid to say anything. And I don't have anything to do with schools anymore. Keep your kids away from school. Forced vaccinations, forced politically correct thinking. The textbooks are filled with complete nonsense, rewritten history. I mean, you go through 12 years of school, you may as well just take it and, you know, burn it and let it blow away in the wind because you didn't learn anything real. And the other thing they're doing is they're making these kids arrogant, like they're really smart. They got an A. They must be really smart. And then they go to college and they get more of the same for a big price tag. My advice to people, here's my advice, and literally I've given this to kids, even the smartest kids, in fact. They say, what should I do? What should I major in college or something like that? And I say, don't go to college. Go out, start a business, an internet business or something. And when you earn enough money to go to college to party and to meet other people and socialize. But don't go to college to learn anything. And certainly don't take out a loan to go to college. Unless if you have a seriously good profession, then take out a loan. But that means that when you get done, you're going to have a job and you can actually pay it back. You know, that's the only time that it's going to be worth. But in the majority of people, even professionals now that get out of school, don't have a job. That's my opinion of college. If you have enough money to go to college and you want to have a good time, go to college. But don't go to college, because what it does is it puts a glass ceiling on the amount of money you can make. It puts you into a box, and okay, you're a teacher. You're going to make $30,000, $40,000 a year salary. Or you're a somebody, social worker. Okay, you're going to have a $30,000 or $40,000 a year salary. Okay, it's not a way to make money. Go out and get yourself a business and make money, and if you have enough money left over to go to college, then go to college and make that investment. At any rate. But the bottom line is you don't learn anything in college. The textbooks are... I spent time studying textbooks, and they're full of, you know, complete nonsense. It's a business. The textbook industry is a business. That's what it is. And it's designed so that all the textbooks say the same thing, and people think, well, since all the textbooks say the same thing, it must be true. Well, no, that's a technique so that they can sell textbooks. In the 1990s, gives you a little bit of my history, in the early 1990s, I was teaching astronomy at the university level. You can see my video. It's one of the video sets, the 8 historically significant videos. I had a professionally produced, nationally funded video that I made called Astronomy for the 90s. We had a professional producer come in, shot the video, did all of the... This is back in the days when editing was editing. There was no computer editing at that time. So it was all done on special editing machines. But anyway, check that video out. It's in my DVD set. But it's very telling, and it was a textbook study using the 100 students in my class, on the astronomy, university level astronomy class, to do this textbook study, and it hasn't changed, you know, up until now. That was in 1991. So we're a long ways into the future, and it's the very same. By the way, I will say this, that if you're going to do something like I do, study physics or study astronomy or try and understand what's going on in terms of electric universe or something like that, you do have to study physics. Please don't go out and willy-nilly start imagining that you're a physicist, because it doesn't happen. You have to do problems. You have to stay up late at night. You have to get a degree. You have to understand physics. And so there's a lot of the wannabes out there running around the internet trying to spout off about electric universe, a term I created to typify my work. There's a lot of people running around out there that don't have a clue about real science. And so that's it's a problem. And so what that does is gives people on the street the idea that they can just kind of talk science and it just happens. And that's not the case. Another thing that people make a mistake about is they go back and they look at things that were done in the 30s and the 40s or even the 1800s. And you got to remember, those people didn't know about the solar wind. They didn't know about a lot of the things that are currently understood in modern. They didn't know about auroras. They didn't know about the Van Allen belts. They didn't know 99% of what we know today was not known back then because of satellites. That's what made my work at Cornell so important, because I had data. I had access to real data for the first time. And so that put me in a key position to actually put real data together. And that's what happens many times in science. It's a combination of somebody understanding what's going on and actual real data. How many scientific discoveries have come with that combination. And it's very important to have not only the information, the theoretical work which I had, but also the data, real data coming in from NASA satellites. And I was at Cornell, a perfect place in the, 1979, when all this wealth of data was coming in. Okay, now here is a story I was going to cover last week, and this has been known about for a long time. And this was first discovered with laboratory mice. Now, they study mice because for some reason they're very similar to humans. A lot of the properties of mice are similar, so they, the laboratory mice that they study. But anyway, it's been known for a long time that when they were artificially inseminating eggs, the eggs of mice, the female mice with the sperm, of course, that comes from the male. By the way, that's a good definition of male and female. If the biological entity, the body, produces eggs, that's female. And if the biological body produces sperm, that's male. And so, anyway, I don't want to get into a big discussion about the use of bathrooms. This is a little diversion. But I had an idea to maybe placate everybody. But, of course, you're not gonna in this world, because the whole idea of that, people using other people's bathroom, is to upset the apple cart. Throw anything in to upset the normal, historical way of doing things. So anyway, I thought, well, let's just make a third bathroom. You have people who, that are men, or people that are women, and those go in those bathrooms, and then you have the other. All the people that can't figure out if they're a man or a woman, they're in the middle of changing or whatever. But see, that doesn't work either. So I think the only sane thing to do is to have individual stalls, and this is actually the way it's done in some countries, is you have one big bathroom, and when you go in, you literally have a stall that's all your own. And so, I'm not going to solve that problem on this show. But back to the idea of eggs, etc. Here is what they discovered. When the sperm enters the egg, and this is, of course, under a microscope, there's a flash of light. A brilliant flash of light. And by the way, this also now is seen as the moment of conception, is when that flash of light occurs. And it's due to zinc apparently in the egg that is activated, and there's a chemical reaction and it gives a flash of light. And they know it's due to zinc. This happens apparently in all, at least, mammals. I'm not sure if, when fish are fertilizing eggs in a stream or whatever, the same thing happens. I don't know how far this research has gone, but they have so-called accidentally discovered this in humans. What the listener who wrote in and sent me this information asked the question, don't you think they would have immediately looked at human eggs and sperms combining to see if the same effect was occurring? Because they've known about the mouse thing for a long, long time. But it's so-called recently been discovered that humans did this, and they're thinking that this could be a test to see which egg, if you had a bunch of eggs and some sperm, and they're combining, to see which egg flashes the brightest, and they think, well, that might be an indicator of the best egg-sperm combination for genetic. What they're doing here is artificial insemination. That's what these studies are for. But I'm thinking that may not be a true test. I mean, for example, there's kids. For example, I didn't read until I was, or talk until I was like 5 years old. When I first started reading, I remember in first grade, I didn't really know what they were doing. They were looking at this book, and I didn't really make the relationship between the words and what they were saying. And then, this came clear later. But then when we got to mathematics, I left all the other kids in the dust. So at any rate, the idea that some signal, like a flash when the sperm enters the egg, does that mean that that's a better person? That's going to produce a better person? I don't think there's enough studying. And this is where there's an old show that a friend of mine always talks about. It's called Tennessee Tuxedo. and this is happening in science all the time today. Tennessee Tuxedo was this guy, and he was a cartoon character. And the show would always start off where he had this brilliant idea of something he was going to do, and all of a sudden, without really understanding the whole thing, he'd run off and he'd start doing something, and it'd end up all convoluted, and that's how it would end, with everything in a big mess. That's Tennessee Tuxedo. Well, modern science is Tennessee Tuxedo to the 10th power, because they do something, they look at it, and then all of a sudden, everybody's running off in that direction. It turns out all backwards and upside down. But anyway, that's an interesting topic, something that I'll continue to track. If people have information on that, continue to send it in. By the way, if you hear beeping in the background, it's because I'm running on backup power here. And there's probably some static noise that usually results in some static noise. Here's a story, and by the way, I'll be talking about the Ecuador earthquake in the main part of the show. I've discovered quite a bit of new information that's very startling, so that's what's coming up in the main science topic. Also more on radiation. Here's a story, very important, leading up to the radiation issue. In Simi, California, this is back in the 1940s this started, there was a research plant up on the top of the hill that was used to separate uranium, creating plutonium. They were making fuel rods back in those days, which were then used to enhance the fuel and create bomb-grade fuel, and they had a lot of people working there. And of course, back then, the security and the safety measures were not like they are today. Although it's very strange, they're trying to use today's standards to deny these people that work there, these poor people that have, all of them, literally like extreme high percentage of the people who work there have severe cancer, and they're denying these people claims. And let me preface this by saying the reason they're denying claims is because they're afraid, the government is deathly afraid of paying out to people affected by radiation. They don't want to open that door. They don't want to open that Pandora's box. Anyway, these poor people have cancer of all types, and they're denying the claims because they said they weren't in a very small area in the plant. But now they're saying that all the people that lived in that, even in the San Fernando Valley during those days, were getting cancer. And so that whole San Fernando Valley, which produces a lot of our food, is ridden with radiation. This is the kind of radiation that lasts a very long time. But the issue of radiation is a huge issue in the United States. I talked about it last week. I did a very special show just on radiation. Some of the, I'm glad to see the news media starting to pick up on these particular cases and talk about specific cases. But it's not only Biscayne Bay or Hanford, Oregon or Simi Valley, California. All of these nuclear reactors in the United States, literally all of them are leaking radioactive, toxic, super toxic radioactive waste liquids into the water tables. And right now, Fukushima, they estimate that $21 billion have already been spent. And I don't know what they're spending it on. They're making this claim that Japan has spent all this money. They haven't done anything. They've poured water on it, and that water is spilling into the ocean. A story just in this morning from Chile, a big wave of dead animals, whales, every form of sea life washed in on the shores of Chile. And what's going on is these, just like plastic bottles accumulate in the ocean, dead animal life and plant life accumulate in these like floating islands of dead mass, and it comes all in at one time. And this was found on the Chilean coast. Unbelievable amount of death. I reported last week on the Great Barrier Reef in Australia dying in the last 3 years, and they universally attribute this to global warming. So they have the scientists, and they say in the Chile article, authorities state that this is due to global warming and some kind of a red algae. That's the same excuse they're using up along the Oregon coast. There's some kind of green algae bloom that's bigger this year than normal. complete fabricated lies. This is Fukushima killing the Pacific Ocean, but the rule is nobody can talk about it. Anybody who talks about it, David Denny is a guy, I was on a radio show up in Canada with him, guest Brian Porter's show, and he was a diver that spent his life diving up and down the west coast of the United States for commercial diving and also for his own pleasure, diving in the Pacific Ocean. And what he has seen is that, yeah, all of the life along that coastline is literally dead. All of the sea animals that cling to rocks and everything, all gone. And it's just in the time since Fukushima. But also has done tests with radiation showing that it's due to radiation. And the sea life is starving to death because the algae is dying off. The lower part of the food chain is dying off. And so this is what's happened. A lot of the whales that washed ashore were emaciated, were just basically skeletons, because there's no food out there for them to eat. They're eating, you know, there's no food. The food chain is dead. So, but the rule is in news reporting and in the news that nobody can talk about radiation. It's a taboo topic. And so I'll be covering more and more on this show, but it's horrendous. It's horrendous. None of the political candidates that are left, you got two now that are left, God help us, but nobody is talking about the environment. Nobody has even mentioned radiation. It's the top issue in the world today because it's poisoning our planet permanently. It's not like even a world war that took 10 or 20 years for the Earth to kind of cover it over. Now in the Pacific Ocean, some of the big sea battles, or Bikini Atoll, where they started doing above-ground nuclear tests and things like that. You know, the sea has somewhat recovered, but the nuclear accidents that are happening and the nuclear accidents that are going to happen and the ongoing leaking of nuclear radiation from all of these power plants, hundreds around the world and over 100 in the United States alone, is irreparable. This doesn't go away. The Earth is not going to block this. It's going to literally kill. It is. It is killing this planet. I can't believe one-third of this year is already gone. It's just unbelievable. A quick commentary on the singer known as Prince. Young kid from Minneapolis, made worldwide fame as a musician. And what I want to report is that now the news media is painting him as a cocaine drug addict, a drug addict who is using various kinds of drugs, etc. And the people that know Prince, I know Prince is the guy that produced his music, the guy that ran the soundboard, that did the mixing. I know these people because I lived for a while in Minnesota. In the recording industry, everybody knows everybody. And, of course, I was in radio shows. These people all knew me as a, you know, international talk show host and a guest, etc. And Prince was not a cocaine addict or a drug addict. He did not take any kind of drugs at all, not even for medical purposes. And so now you have the news media painting him up like a drug addict. And, I mean, this is insane what's going on. But this is what they do. They muddy up people. And what Prince was doing was he was going out and talking against chemtrails. Look at the woman who just had her child taken away talking about chemtrails. There's topics they don't want breached. I've been talking about chemtrails back, I mentioned this last week, going back to the Alex Merklinger days back in the early 2000s. Clifford, one of the old guys back there that was talking about chemtrails, this new wave of people that have come in. I've mentioned that the geoengineering chemtrail movement has been thoroughly infiltrated to divert it from public attention. But back to Prince, I know those people. They were not drug addicts. I've been in their houses. I've seen the walls full of records, platinum and gold records up there on their walls, and you know, they have families. I've been there with the kids running in, going, "Hi, Dad, what about this?" You know, they're not a bunch of, you know, let me tell you something. A lot of the really great artists in the music industry don't do drugs. You don't last long if one of the heavy drug users and stuff like that. That's all a show. That is part of the show, to make it look like that's part of the demonization of music, is to make them, you know, so that the people look like they're...
Just a quick comment here on the alleged most expensive object on Earth. There was an article, some people sent this in, that a nuclear power plant in United Kingdom in England is going to be built for the tune of something like $26 billion being built by China. But in the article, it was interesting. They said this is would be the most expensive item on Earth, but they noted that the space station, the International Space Station, is the most expensive object ever conceived and constructed by man. $100 billion in the space station. Talk about a black hole where you put your money and it disappears. The return on investment for $100 billion on the space station is nil. Just a quick political commentary here. The problem with Trump, even though he's probably the best political candidate to come along in a very long time, is that he thinks that all of the terrorism is actually terrorism. He doesn't understand who is creating that. This is all CIA, Israel, Mossad created terrorism for the purpose of inciting Americans into fighting Israel's wars. He doesn't understand this. So how can he develop rational foreign policy based on his belief that these are real events? He talks about the actor shooting events as if they were real. So you have a guy that's really not in contact with reality, you know, living in his penthouse at the Trump Towers or whatever. So here's the end result. There's got to be a... basically, you have to take care of yourself. It's what I've called all along First Nation. You have to go out and simply create your own First Nation democracy and live in it. You can't wait for the next election or some political candidate, because these people, they're just clueless, you know, when it comes to the big issues. So anyway, that's what you're going to have to do. First Nation, create your own democracy and live it, because it's not going to happen anywhere in the near future. An amazingly important story is on arsenic. Arsenic is a silent killer. It's in water, literally every place. It's one of the most important topics. I will be posting an arsenic map, but you can find this on the internet also. Just look up arsenic concentration in the water, you know, and say map. You can find it on the internet. There's many of these. Southern Texas is horrible. Mexico, a lot of the South American countries are extremely bad, and they have, that's not the only thing in the water. But arsenic is a deadly poison. It's cumulative. My water filters take this out, you know, all in one filter. I used to sell what is known as an add-on filter, but they are very limited. They limit the flow of water. We used to have a lot of problems with that. I don't sell those anymore. You won't find them on my webpage. The competition, if I really don't have any competition, but people are still trying to sell those add-on arsenic filters or inline arsenic filters. There's so much more in the water that you have to take out besides arsenic. My filters take out everything that really, that you know, the chloramines and the chlorine and the fluoride and the arsenic all are taken out in one filter, in my GF filters. But arsenic is a huge problem, and I guarantee you it's in your water. When you drink it, it's cumulative, so you got to get that out of there. So anyway, that's just, I'd like to talk a bit more about that. I might dedicate a show someday to the just the topic of arsenic. It's a very important topic, but make sure you have filtration, which mine are the only water filter elements on the market that take arsenic out in the main filter without add-ons. And not only arsenic, but fluoride and a very long, long list of other toxins all taken out in the one filter element. So visit my webpage, jmccsci.com, and remember that my filter elements fit all other canisters that have been built, you know, in the last 20 years, all the other brands, makes and models. My water filters fit those, the filter elements, so upgrade today and get that arsenic out of your water. Okay, I'm going to talk a bit about Ecuador now. I've already mentioned this on my radio show, but President Correa, he's the current president of Ecuador, is raising taxes in selling bonds and looking for International Monetary Fund recovery loans for the recovery of the major earthquake that just occurred. Now, if you understand, my point is that I believe, and I can't say this for certain, but there's a good deal of circumstantial evidence that shows that the earthquake in Ecuador, not only Ecuador, but about 60 other that same day, 16th of April, in Japan, etc., were man-made. And somebody called in on the radio show when I was guest and said, how do they make man-made earthquakes? And the way they do this, there's a couple different ways. There's a Tesla-type technique where they pulse electromagnetic signals. But the main source of earthquakes, man-made earthquakes, is nuclear bombs. This is the way they created the tsunami in Japan. I've made a statement on a radio show this week that the tsunami in Japan was very strange. It came in about 10 small waves. A typical tsunami is a big single wave. That's a tsunami. That's a natural tsunami. In Japan, they had like 10 slow waves that came in. They built up, they receded, they built up, they receded, and then one very large one, a very long wave, moved in. This is a man-made tsunami. But in Ecuador, the videos that preceded the tsunami, there was one showing the actual meteorite coming in. It looked like a meteorite, but what it was is what is known as rod from God. It's a military weapon designed to create earthquakes. It's the same thing that happened in Russia. It comes in on a low Earth orbit, very slow, moving across the sky. These are not meteors from outside. Then the Rutgers University comes out and says, oh, that was due to the very common occurrence of light that occurs around earthquakes. No, luminosity, earthquake luminosity, is a topic that I pioneered. I know something about it, worked with Russian scientists on this topic. But that luminosity that occurs around earthquakes and volcanoes is that at the time of the eruption of a volcano, and I'm not talking about the lightning, I'm talking about luminosity. It's a very different concept, and this is why the Russians were very interested in my work back in the mid-90s, because this is what they were studying. They were studying luminosity, atmospheric luminosity, and they didn't know where it came from. But anyway, now Rutgers University comes out and says, oh, this is normal, this is due to luminosity. Well, no, this was a meteorite that came in, and they have security cameras that were taken in tunnels and in places in Ecuador. And remember that that earthquake occurred at around 6:58 p.m. local time, so that's after dark. And so the video that came was presented showed this thing coming across the sky. And then YouTube, the CIA-owned operative that they are, posts this video and says, oh, no, this was taken in May of 2015 in Argentina. You know, these people are twisting the news. You cannot believe anything that happens anymore on the news. The earthquake in Ecuador was a surface earthquake, and that was the announcement when it first came out, and it had the characteristics of a surface earthquake. But it was induced by one of these military Rod for God. That's the initial quake that happened in Ecuador, man-made. And at the tip of that Rod from God is a nuclear weapon, and it's designed to penetrate the ground. It's the same type of ground-penetrating capability that they use for penetrating armor on military vehicles. It first hits, and then a charge is blasted out of the front of the device, which penetrates, and then that's where the nuclear charge goes off. So these are small micro-nuclear charges, but enough to trip off an earthquake. And so this is exactly, now we saw this in Russia when that, remember the meteorite or so-called meteorite that came into Russia, what was it, a year ago, year and a half ago, something like that, comes in on a low Earth orbit, and I recognized that immediately for what it was, comes in on a low Earth orbit, they come in very slow across the horizon, and then come in and boom, in this explosion, the flash of light in the Russian videos was exactly the same as the flash of light prior to the Ecuador earthquake. This was a man-made, this was a military, a U.S. military weapon called Rod from God. And I, why they name it that is, well, they're bizarre people. But anyway, that's what the earthquake in Ecuador was initiated by, a man-made cause. Now, why would they want to create an earthquake in Ecuador? Because Ecuador is having financial problems. They were about to default on their loans to China. They have given away the southeastern portion of Ecuador to China, and they're killing indigenous people down there, the native indigenous people that are still living there. They're killing them. It's being horribly polluted by oil companies to the point where those people can no longer live there. It's a horrible situation. Certainly not, you're not going to hear about this on the evening news. But now, the reason Rutgers University got involved in this is because literally millions of people saw this asteroid, their so-called asteroid, coming into the atmosphere. So they had to dumb it down with some kind of phony, alleged scientific study. So this is where they get the day afterwards, April 17th, Rutgers University comes out and says, oh, that's just your normal atmospheric electricity that accompanies an earthquake. The only problem is the light and the explosion occurred before the earthquake occurred. And so Rutgers has got their story all mixed up, and then they quote a bunch of unrelated incidents of lightning and things like that, other types of lighting that supposedly occurred around earthquakes, some of them a week before or a week after earthquakes, so not related to what you would call earthquake luminosity that occurs at the time of the earthquake and after the earthquake. The flash of light in Ecuador happened seconds before the earthquake. So you see in the security camera in the tunnels, and I hope I can post these. I've been having a bit of, let's say, technical problems here, thanks to our friends who don't want you to hear my radio show. But I hope to be posting these videos. But what you see is you see the cars, they're in a tunnel. Basically, it's dark. You can see the end of the tunnel, so it's dark out. All of a sudden, you see an enormous kind of a double flash of light, like a wham, wham type flash of light. That's the initial explosion where the charge is driven into the ground, and then the second explosion is what actually caused the earthquake. You see the double flash in the tunnel, security camera, and then seconds later, you start to see the cars wobbling back and forth in the earthquake. This was man-made. Then, as I said, President Ecuador of Korea, goes out and asks for international monetary fund loans, and recovery money in the form of selling bonds. So basically is selling out any future income that could possibly be occurring in Ecuador. And remember, this is pretty much a poor banana republic. It's always been under the thumb of international bankers. Remember back in the 1970s, a guy named Jaime Robles was president of Ecuador. He was getting rid of the bankers. He was getting rid of the oil companies. He was getting rid of the fruit companies, the international fruit companies and sugar companies that dominated Ecuador during that time period. He was killed. His whole family was killed in an airplane crash. This past year, Ecuador demanded a release of the records from the CIA. And they say right in the CIA records, that they killed Jaime Robles and his parents. A month later, they killed the president of Panama and installed Emmanuel Noriega. And that was part of the CIA drug program back then. So you got to understand who's running the world. This has been going on for a long time. And that's what's going on in Ecuador there. Now it's a international vying for Ecuador. It's a absolutely horrible situation, but it's what they've done in Libya. That's what they've done, and they're trying to do in Syria, Yemen, Sierra Leone. All of these countries are just being trounced by international banking, these corrupt international policies. And by the way, the first reports of the Ecuador earthquake showed it as a surface earthquake, is what it was. Now they're saying it was 9 kilometers deep. So you cannot trust the U.S. Geological Survey. You cannot trust any government reporting of any naturally occurring event, whether it's hurricanes or tornadoes. The death toll and the human damage in Ecuador is not being reported. Entire towns have been demolished and the people have to relocate, but that's a small price it's what they call collateral damage. If these people want to go in and take over a country, they don't care whose lives they destroy or how many people or civilians. I mean, they're killing civilians started in Nagasaki and Hiroshima. Those were not military targets. Japan had already surrendered. Those were targeting Christian communities in Japan. That's exactly what that was. So anyway, just for your information, if you ever see any of these, you will know here's how to identify a rod from God nuclear weapon that comes in. And now just to preface this by saying that U.S. senators have come out and claimed, this was right after the 60 or so earthquakes that happened on April 16th. And everybody's going, oh, there's so many earthquakes. Well, a lot of these now are man-made. They're targeting areas, and that was a bit of an experiment to see what would happen as the Pacific Rim adjusts. There weren't earthquakes in the other part of the world, only the Pacific Rim, two major ones in Japan, some in China, and the big one, of course, the 8.0 down in Ecuador. And remember that they downgraded the Richter scale, so that's by the old standards a 9.0. So it was tremendous. I have reports that I've gotten back from that area, tremendously powerful earthquake, followed by many aftershocks. But here is how you tell a military weapon called the Rod from God. These are in orbit. These are in orbit around the Earth. They're actually illegal. These types of weapons were outlawed by international treaties throughout the history of once people were able to go into space. They outlawed the ability or the technique of using orbiting military weapons that could instantly rain down on an area. That was outlawed because, for obvious reasons, someone could target an area and have military weapons raining in on a second's notice. And so they were outlawed. So the Rod from God is basically internationally outlawed weapon. But they're using it against civilian populations to create earthquakes. The here's what they look like when they come in. Because let me explain first that a real asteroid comes from outer space, is moving at a very high velocity, and comes across the sky at a very high rate of speed. And so the typical asteroid coming in from outer space is going to move very quickly, and usually at an angle, quite a bit of an angle from outer space. The rods from God come in almost horizontally, and they graze. They're coming in the atmosphere, and they're slowing down. So anyway, they're targeted. They just appear to be flying across the sky. And they leave a trail behind them, a very characteristic thin trail, because they're a rod. They're not a big bolide asteroid. They're literally a rod. And so that's what they look like, and they have a big ball of light in the very tip. And what that is it's the material that burns off the front end, which is expendable. That's the basically like a heat shield burning off, and so it illuminates. So that's what's going on. So that's what these look like. It looks like a great big ball of light, and then a lot of smoke coming off of it, and then a thin trail coming out the back. They come across nearly horizontally, and then they give a bright flash when they hit the ground. And you could say that's very typical of an asteroid. But these are very different. If you know what an asteroid looks like coming in, and you know what a rod from God looks like coming in, they're very different. What came into Ecuador was a rod from God. That earthquake was man-made, and Rutgers University, shame on them, but that's what you get from paid government universities. You'll always get scientists who can create or fabricate a story, whether it's global warming for a big die-off in the Pacific Ocean washing up on Chile, whether it's the death of the Great Barrier Reef in Australia due to alleged global warming. You can get scientists, paid government scientists in these universities, to say anything. These people are corrupt. I certainly look forward to the day when these people are convicted and put in prison. Professors in universities in prison. Whether they're up in Vancouver trying to protect the nuclear energy industry from being culpable for not reporting Fukushima poisoning the Pacific Ocean. Okay, so anyway, I pretty much covered this story, but the final result, there's no question in my mind that this earthquake in Ecuador was man-made. It was then followed by economic disaster for the country of Ecuador, where Ecuador literally lost its country that day. That's the result of the basically a rod from God attack on that country. Okay, I'm going to return to a topic now of the light flash when sperm enters an egg. And this is a very interesting topic from another point of view. When man decides to define something, like in the case of a very controversial issue called abortion, when life begins. And I just find I don't even know what the word is. I don't think there is a word that can describe when man decides to define when life starts, in terms of legalizing abortion or the cases. And now this is not talking for or against. I'm not trying to get on either side of that issue, because it's a very complex issue, and it's not something the legality or the political or the political correctness or whatever issues involved with that. This is not at issue. What is at issue from my point of view is the scientific result of the point of conception, where a entity is initiated. And so now with this concept that there is literally a chemical reaction that occurs when the sperm enters the egg, and it's characterized by a flash of light, this in the scientific sense, would indicate that that is the point of conception. It's like an instantaneous chemical flash of light. And so that is where God's creation begins, not 3 months later, according to man's courtroom definition. Very, you know, the problem here is when man becomes involved, or the legal system becomes involved in scientific definitions. And of course, this happens now with global warming, that it's publicly defined as is somehow science fact that global warming is occurring, or that chemtrails don't exist. They are, you know, here's an interesting photo I just saw come in from a person who has been studying chemtrails, and that is, now they say that these are just contrails from jets, but the end result is that there's a picture of two jets, and they're exactly in the same altitude in the same photo. One has a contrail coming out of the engine. The other one has chemtrails coming out of the wings of the airplane, not related to the engines at all. Now, there are techniques where they blow the residue through the fan jets, but I have pictures where the chemtrails are literally coming out of the wings or other regions of the airplane, not coming out of the motors. So they have nothing to do with engines. Very clearly, in fact, in my book, my weather book, I have a picture of a jet. It's a, I believe it's a four-engine jet. And it has chemtrails clearly coming out of the wings. Now, the engines sit behind the wings. The exit duct of the jets sits behind the wings. The chemtrails are coming out of the ports in the wings ahead of the exit nozzle of the engine, if you understand what I'm saying. So there's no way that this can be related to chemtrails. So some judge has his head where the sun doesn't shine, takes a woman's child away, and this is defined in a courtroom. This is just unbelievable. This is unbelievable. But the problem here from a scientific point of view is that science becomes defined in a courtroom by who knows what these people are thinking or what they're smoking or what the judge is being told to do. And in the cases, if you haven't understood this, the judges don't work for a U.S. court system. The U.S. court system is non-existent. These are bar British Admiralty maritime law operatives working within the physical structure of the United States, certainly not within any legal structure.
I'm going to go back to talking about water filters now. This is based on a question that came in from a listener. And he said, how did you decide, or how do you know what elements to target, or what toxins or chemicals or whatever, how to target those in the filter elements, in the GF filter elements that take everything out all in one filter element? And the way that is decided is basically you have to understand what the pollution problems are today. I have a free MP3 lecture that goes out with every purchase of water filter product or book, no matter what the purchase is, how little or how much, is the free book Water, my ebook. And then also there's a 55-minute MP3 lecture in two parts called Living in a Toxic World. And one of that is basically, where do toxins come from? So you have to understand that glyphosates come from Roundup and Roundup agriculture, agriculture which is about literally about 90% of the United States has Roundup in it. So it's very common, and they're pouring this on the ground every year. It gets into the water table, and glyphosates is the result. And so it's in your water.
So glyphosate obviously is one of the common pollutants in your water system. Now, chloride, of course, is very common in city water. It's not a naturally occurring chemical. It could be in some locations if you're near a chemical plant or something like that. So that's certainly one of them. Fluoride is an element which is put into water. Fluoride is a common element, chemical that's put into water systems all over the country. But the one I wanted to talk about next was chloramines. Chloramines is something relatively new that's being added to water systems, especially in locations where they combine seawater reverse osmosis with brackish fresh water, which is very bad fresh water, and they put chloramines in, and some people think it makes it taste better. Excuse me, but I don't think so. But anyway, be that as it may, they're putting chloramines in the water. So we know that. You go down the laundry list. Pharmaceuticals, we know, are in the water. We know that lead and aluminum and heavy metals are in the water. So how do you know what's in the water so that you know how to build the filter element to remove these and target these? That's because we know about the pollution sources. Where is the water coming from? And so they are designed to remove literally all of the known toxins that are in the water supplies, not to mention arsenic, which is a naturally occurring substance. It's an element, basically, that comes in the water system from the ground, from well water. So arsenic is a big one, and there are some places that have tremendous arsenic problems, especially, like I said, southern Texas. Maine has a problem. Some areas in the central United States, arsenic is a very major problem. And so, anyway, that's how you know what to target in the filters. And then allow the minerals, the untargeted things, allow the minerals to pass through so that you have minerals in your water so you don't become mineral depleted by drinking water. You should not be drinking distilled water or reverse osmosis water because it has no minerals. And so people say, well, I'm putting minerals in it. Well, how do you know that your minerals are clean? You don't, because they're coming from the same source as the polluted water. Anyway, just a few things about the water filter elements, the GF water filter elements, which are on sale in 10 packs on my webpage, and reminding you that they fit all of the standard stainless or plastic water filters on the market. Go to the webpage, JMCC, S as in Sam, C as in Charlie, I as in Indigo.com. This is James McCanny. This is my Science Hour. And as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.